So we started the journey earlier this month on having vision, and 2020, the year 2020, I'm asking God to give you clearer vision, 2020 vision, seeing things differently. Even recently, again, I had my eye checkup. They say every 2 years, I think it was like 4 years, I said, I better go. And the person that does the eyes said, yeah, there's a little bit of a correction that's needed. Anyways, so we got it done. I'm a cheapo. I go to online shopping to do my glasses. But aren't those nice glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah? You can ask me where I got them. Online, pretty cheap. So I got a new set of spectacles, new set of glasses. And I can see a little better, actually a lot better, because now they've adjusted my eye. Because when you go there, they're going to adjust your eye so you will get corrected vision. 2020. So God has given us ways in which we can have better, we call it perfect vision, which is his vision, his eyes to see. And I've been sharing from different passages of the Bible. And this morning, the Lord directed me in this passage was just so ringing in my ears. It was ringing through the week, but it was like, boom, this is it right here. This is what you're going to talk on. This is the message for today. And it's a passage you're all familiar with, and I'm going to use it as a bit of a launch pad, but it's a verse that I already referred to in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to say it again because it's wonderful to read it in the context where it's found, and then we're going to just go from there. So in Matthew chapter 6, and let me just read the context, and then we're going to focus in on that verse. Okay, here's the context. In Matthew 6, verse 25, and then we'll get to the verse 33 in a minute as we read. Listen to the word. This is NIV if you want to turn it up and put it on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and it'll likely show up there if you want to follow along. How about we do this? Let's read it together. Okay, let's just look up there, and Simon will scroll through. So let's all read it together. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And the last verse. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Amen. That's a good word. Those are, as you know, words of Jesus. Those words of Jesus are spoken in a series of, we would call, messages. It's really one, maybe one big message, but it's a series of talks or topics that he talks about. And this section in the Bible, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, is called the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you heard that expression? Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Okay, it's really kind of interesting. Not that you need to know anything, you know, it's not anything other than just reference and knowledge. But in that place, he has drawn to himself his followers. And he's given them some instruction. You know, this is like important words, words of Jesus. Now, what's amazing is throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes reference to this idea there's life beyond earth. There's life beyond the natural. We live in the world that's very natural. Well, in the natural world, you got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to, you know, it's like there has to be some shelter. You know, in the natural world, there's material, physical needs. In the natural world, you know, all everything, it's like in a realm of what we see. Even, I want to say this because you got to realize something here. In the natural world, even health is natural. Come on, isn't it? Your body, hey, my body and your body is natural, physical. I'm saying this because so often we focus on the natural and we miss the eternal. We miss spiritual. So what's the contrast to natural? What's the opposite to natural? Supernatural and spiritual and eternal. So what God is saying in this passage to his followers and really to all of us is don't be so caught up with the natural. Because the natural is what you see with your human eyes. Natural is what you experience in the world, in a realm in which you live. There's something greater than the natural. Because we're so caught up with the physical, the natural, the now, the temp. Which, sad thing is, that is temporal. And all of us, now it's interesting, the testimonies we gave. Now I have nothing against testimonies. I have nothing against the testimonies we gave. Okay, but I'm using it as an example. I would give the same testimonies everybody gave here, understand? But the testimonies we gave had to do with the natural. But you know what they had to do with? The super showing up in the natural. God, right? So there's something with God, but what God is saying is you seek first the spiritual. Seek first the supernatural. Seek first the eternal. Why? Because here's the problem if we're so caught up with the natural is that we think this is world is what it's all about. So we make decisions based on the fact, you know what? I'm going to live in this world. I got to have the best car. I got to have the best house. No, I'm not saying you saying this, but by and large, we got to have. So we're temporary minded. Okay, is God interested in temporary? Okay, he didn't say forget the temporary. He said just get your priorities right. More people have anxiety and worry and issues about, we call them, that manifest in their body, physical ailments, because they're concerned about the natural. Things will shift if we get our perspective right. If our vision gets corrected, and my prayer this morning is somehow our vision gets readjusted, corrected, that we start to see from the eternal. Because when we come from that place, and it's interesting because when you look at the writings of Paul, you know, one of the great books in the Bible is, and I might do a series on it, never know, might be sooner than you think, is the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is a great book. In that little letter of Paul to the Ephesians, he constantly says, heavenly place. Heavenly place. Set your minds on things in the heavenly place. Well, that's Colossians. But he says, you're seated with Christ in the heavenly place. You know that far above all, you are in, there's a, Jesus is given the right in that place in the heavenlies. But, you know, like, in battle is not here, but it's in the heavenly place, right? So with, in God's perspective, there's a something beyond the natural. You know, I'm just going to give you my story here for a while, because we all got a story, right? Even though I was told about God, even though I was taught maybe in some way to believe that there is a God, that there is eternity, there's eternal life. As a young person, I focused most of my life on the natural. So two things, God didn't play big in my early life. My early life, it was like, I was more interested in me. Three things, me, myself, and I. Basically, it was like, what can I get out of life? Because I didn't think there was something that's going to happen in the way of eternity, that my life wouldn't really matter much. Why not just live for myself? Live for pleasure, live for whatever, right? So I enjoyed sports. That's kind of what I did. I was in school and didn't matter to me. You know, it, you know, it's not that, but you know what I'm getting at. It was mostly just me I was thinking about. Now, yeah, you do other things for other people, but by and large, I wasn't thinking about them a lot. Certainly wasn't thinking about eternal life a lot. And then something happened. Boom! It's like, rock your world kind of an event. Some of you know my story. All of a sudden, something happened in my family where my mom took sick with cancer, and her, when they found out cancer in her body, it was late stages. And the chance of survival was like, you know, from a natural point of view, was like, when you get fourth cancer found in fourth stage, you have to get a miracle, right? Within a short time, she died. Let me tell you something. As a young man who thought nothing of eternity, all of a sudden, I woke up to the reality that life doesn't go on forever. She's in her 40s when she died. And I'm a teenager, last year of high school, and all of a sudden, you know the story, I've shared it with you. All of a sudden, I get thinking, if this is all there is to life, then what's the purpose? If all we get is so many years, for her, maybe 40, and for others, it could be less or it could be more, but if that's all there is, what's the purpose? Why are we here? You know, there's really not much happening here. So I got questioning, but you know, my mom had such faith in God that she had a revelation of life after. She had a revelation and a knowledge of that when she was going to go, but she had a revelation of eternity. She had a revelation of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm thinking here, and she's thinking there. And all of a sudden, it was after she died, I realized, man, she had something of faith in eternity that I had no idea even existed. But God in his mercy drew me. God in his mercy and compassion just was after me, which is not like, you know, he does it so, you know, he does it so wonderfully because he loves me. He didn't want me to not experience heaven or eternity. So he pursued me. And in that place, as everyone else, if you're going to experience, first of all, if you're going to experience eternal life, if you're going to experience the kingdom of God, The Bible says, another place in the Bible, it says you must be born again. You remember that passage in John 3 when this man came to Jesus asking a question about life? Really, he was kind of going around, really not getting direct. But Jesus knew the guy's heart. He knew he was looking for an answer. And Jesus said, John 3, unless a man or person be born again or born from a heavenly realm, from a spiritual realm, unless a person came into a relationship with God, which is not from this realm, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So the first thing to seek first the kingdom of heaven is to have a life that has come out of the world or temporary, you know, this thing about this is all there is to life, and realize that there is a life after death. There is a spiritual life. There's a heavenly life. There's something that I need, which is a life, an understanding that there's a life being offered which has eternity attached to it. The reason I say that is because even the best of us, no matter how long we live, even if we live a long time, this body is frail and it's weak and it's going to fade, it's going to die. So my concern is that we get concerned about body and we forget about the fact that eternity is forever. Which means that when you're born into this world, your soul, your spirit will go on forever. As God created us in his image. And my concern is that we don't recognize that that's the most important thing. The most important thing is your soul and the state of your being in that relationship with God. So God in his mercy reached down and revealed to me that I needed to have my soul made right with him. And in a beautiful revelation, in a beautiful expression, God showed, because it's all in the Bible, that I could not make it happen, but he, by his mercy, had made it happen, that I would be born again by believing in the Son of God. I would have to recognize that this was not in vain. This is not just a nice symbol that Christians use. This was a recognition of a place where the sacrifice was made. His life was given, his blood was shed. He gave it all for me, for you. That I could live. I don't ever want to forget this. I mean, I'm not talking the physical wooden cross. What happened there? I don't want to ever forget this. So he reminds me maybe every day he reminds me. But every week, I want to remember. That I'm born again. That I'm made new. I'm a new creation. Heaven, now the perspective has changed. See, when I'm born again, guess what? I love this because I want you to see that moment of being born again in John's gospel. It's interesting because he uses two expressions here, and these are important for us to see in the context of this message. He says, unless a person be born again, let's look at verse 3. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is, what? John 3:3, no one can see the kingdom of God. You know what's interesting? The word there is see. The word there is vision. See. You can't look into eternity and spiritual and heavenly unless you're born again. But once you enter into the kingdom of heaven in that relationship with Jesus, and that's by faith, you just said, Jesus, I I trust in you. I believe you gave your life for me. I thank you. It's that simple. It's that complicated. But then guess what happens? It's almost like you went to the, what do they call them, optometrist? What's the doctor called? Yeah, the opticians are the, yeah. I went to the doctor, got the prescription. He gave me a new pair of glasses, and now I can see. Just like that testimony of that man that Jesus healed with the blind man. He says, I once was blind, but now I see. I see, and that's what the Lord is saying. You have a new perspective. You have a new vision. I've shared this with you before. This is not a new message. I mean, it's like, but there's something that you need to capture here. You know, moving into this new year, I really believe the Lord is, he's speaking this to me personally. He's saying, listen, this morning I got up, I took these glasses, and I brought out the solution. I went, psst, 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 psst. Anybody do that before? Or put it on the tap, or I don't know how you do it. But if you got a pair of these, you know they got, guess what happens to them? What happens? They get dirty. Vision gets blurred. Just because I entered into the experience with Jesus of the new birth, does it mean that I constantly live with the heavenly perspective? Hey, it would be great if I did. It would be great if you did. But I need these cleaned, like I did this morning. So what the Lord was saying to me, and a big part of this message today, is that you and I, as the born sons of God and daughters of God, as those who have been transformed, brought out of the kingdom of darkness, and brought into the kingdom of God's Son, we have been given this new perspective. So what the Lord is saying to his disciples, hey, don't get wrapped up again with the temporary. The message here is don't get caught up again and focus your eyes on the temporary, whatever that temporary looks like, because eternal is what matters. Guess what? When you get a priority right and you put the eternal as the most important thing, hey, the temporary just takes care of itself. Isn't that the message? Hey, I don't know about you, but I just need one of these every once in a while from Jesus. Hey, son, come on, let's get with it. Right? Is that okay if I did that? I know I could do that with Sim. But you know what? He just wants to get my attention. He says, come on, son. There's so much. What matters? Now, every one of us live in a world that's temporary. Everything around you is about things that aren't going to last. Is it any wonder? I mean, I love what Jesus says here. Go back to Matthew 6 again, because I just want to, in reference to that, in reference to temporary and eternal, I just want us to recognize something here. Okay, when it comes to your body, is he interested in your body? Yes. Right, he is. Is he interested in your finances?
Yes.
Yes. Everything. That's why he says, in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests to God. He's interested in everything, but there's also a place where I seek first his kingdom. What is the idea there? The idea is priority. The idea is what's more important? Okay, let me just say this. Does God know your heart? If he's God, does he know your heart? Does God know your mind? Okay. If there's anxiety in your heart and mind concerning temporary, whatever that temporary is, okay, he knows, right? All right. I'm not saying that these thoughts aren't going to come. No. He said, you live in a world where there's trouble. You live in a world where there's tragedy. You live in a world where pain shows up in your body, or you get a doctor's report that you have cancer manifesting in your body. Is that the world we live in? Yeah. Now he says, seek first his kingdom. I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to say it the way I felt this morning about it. I just started reading Job again. Anybody remember the story of Job? How many, how many feel personally, human nature, how many feel Job was treated well at the beginning of his life? Nobody feels that way. Come on. Let's be honest. Was Job treated well when all the stuff was taken from him? No, that's what I'm talking about. Be honest. If you honestly look at Job's life, everything he had, which was, let me just say it again. Hear me out. Everything that he had that was temporal. And the Lord was speaking to me about that this morning. Something deeper. Yeah, I know the last part of Job's life was more blessed than the beginning. I know. Here's the thing, you see, there's a place where, because we're human, you know, you live in the human world and we feel for humans and we feel for the pain, and it's important to feel that way. But we almost think by feeling the way we do about tragedy and about difficulty is that we take the place of God. Job's buddies had some answers for his problems, and but they all had to do with answers which were basically human in nature. They say, something wrong with you, Job. If you had it all right, this wouldn't happen. How many remember that answer? Like most of the time, it was just based on that. And what's interesting, listen, Job also thought that somehow his righteousness, come on now, who's with me? That his being a good man would qualify him for a blessing from God. That somehow would protect him or whatever. Hey, anybody here this morning? Why? Because perspective was all temporal. Perspective was on the natural. You know, in the end of the story of Job, yeah, there was restoration of a lot of things. Okay? But the end of the story of Job was the perspective changed. That you're God, I'm not. You're God, I'm not. Because we make decisions and our feelings and everything are based on the human. And basically, think about it. Our thinking, the greatest of our thinking, the greatest of our compassion, the greatest of our putting it together and figuring it out does not compare iota, little tiny dot, to God's thoughts. But if I have my eyes fixed on the Lord, he says, seek first his kingdom, which is seek first. Basically, this is my sense about it. Seek what is eternal in this matter. Seek what is spiritual in this matter. Seek which is heavenly from this matter. Seek something which is not eternal, and you put your eyes on that. Get your eyes on that and say, Lord, even that's why we pray this, you know, your will be done, not my will. Your will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Your goodness, God, is running after me. That isn't a doubt in my mind. But when I see life and the stuff that goes on, I think, God, where's your goodness? Are you with me? Guess what? His goodness hasn't stopped pursuing you. I'd just like to say it this way. I'm in the middle of the chapter. He's at the end of the book. Can you picture that one for a minute? You're in the middle of the movie. He's seen it already. Complete. What's he saying? I am good. And because of my good, I will work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So my prayer, and you know, it's interesting. I want to go into another. I said, let's go to another passage in Matthew 6, and I got distracted. But let's go there now. In Matthew 6, he talks more about finances. And I heard somebody say, I'm going to say this because I heard somebody say, you should not be asking people to contribute finances, you know, to give to the Lord when they don't have anything to give. I don't believe there's anybody here. This is my statement. Mark it down, whether you like it or not, I'm going to say it. You may have a different opinion. I believe everybody has something to give. Everybody. There's not one person, whether you're a beggar on the, if you're a beggar on the street, you got something to give. Because at the end of the day, you got some money. Hey, got it? Why? Why is it important to give? Because it shows perspective. I see more people tied up and worried and anxious about money and about how they're going to make it, the bills, or, you know, all it's about this and about financial. It's because, and I see more anxiety on people who haven't learned to give. People who don't tithe and don't give have more stress about money than anybody I know. Why? Because they're holding on to it. They haven't given it to God. See, when you give it to God, everything changes. And let me tell you something. I speak out of experience. We just don't be concerned about it anymore. Thank God it happened early in my life, but it could happen any time in your life. This anxiety that's coming on the people is because they haven't put God first in these matters. And I think finances is a big part of it. How do I know? Because the first part of this tells you that. Just before we started in verse 25, this is what he says in 19. Look at verse 19. I read Matthew 6:25, but look at verse 19. Do not store for yourselves treasures on... Read it. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on... where moth and rust destroy. You know what happens when I put my investments and put my money in my homes, in my bank accounts, or everything else, and I think it's secure. Guess what? Nothing is secure in this life. Nothing. Pastor, you shouldn't be talking. I may talk about this once in a while. I'm not looking for money for me. Yeah, this church has needs. We miss two Sundays. Let me ask you. We miss two Sundays in church on Sundays. You think it shows up on the bottom line? It does. It does. People, I'm just saying. It does. I know not for people, you know. By the way, just to inform you, if there isn't church, you can give online. Now, not because the church needs it. Yeah, we have needs. I'm not talking, let's be practical. Costs money to run a ministry. But the point I'm making is it's got nothing to do about that as much as got to do about your heart. And some people say, well, here's the other problem. When it comes to giving, well, let's finish this scripture. It says, don't store up for his treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Eternity, heaven. Seek first his kingdom, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You know what's interesting? People who honestly give as God would have them give, because their treasure is in the kingdom of heaven, their lives are in the kingdom of heaven. In other words, that's what they live for. It's just connected. All right. Okay, it's not one other thing I want to talk about in terms of, listen, you know what it is about the money thing? I tell you, there's something really weird about it. It's the temporary thing that we use as a trade item for the temporary things we get, right? For product, consumer products, right? So we exchange them. So it's not so much the money, but all connected to it. It's that whole idea of mammon, the whole idea of, you know. So what I believe God is saying is, if this is why I think giving is important, many reasons. I mean, biblical, it's right, all of that. But let me just tell you something. If there is a place where you want God to be in charge of your life, you know, the first place that he wants to be in charge is your pocketbook. And the more you hold on to your pocketbook and make it yours, you're basically saying, God, I'm in charge. Basically, if you're in charge, that's why I think tithing is such a powerful principle. Is you start tithing, everything else gets taken care of. It's just the way it works. Testimonies of that everywhere. But it's not the reason only that you get back. It's an automatic principle. I've said this to you guys before. You know, if you trust me, people said, don't tell students to tithe or give. Well, I'm telling the students to give. You're going to say, well, how can I, Pastor? I don't make any money. Every one of you get some money sometime. It's a time to begin. I thank God. And let me tell you something else. You don't give as you think and who you give. Here's the thing about giving. We think we can give to whoever we want to give and however we want to. Hear this, guys. You don't give to who you want to, however you want to, because that's also control. Wow. You don't make the decision, oh, I'm going to give it to this person or that. When it comes to tithing, you give it to the church. Who says that? Read it here. It's just that simple. Why? Because it's a matter. When I decide, now listen, do I give to other? I share this honestly with you, not that I want any boasting on this. We give tithe to the church. And beyond that, we give a lot of money away to other things. Understand? I'm just saying, not because I'm saying, oh, I'm all that. It's just a commitment. It's a principle. It's just the truth. How many want to walk by righteousness? I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is his ways, which is he leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. And I know many of you believe in that and many of you practice, but I want to stretch you. Why? Because I'll tell you something. I just want to give him all that I have. I just want clearer vision. If anything, I just want I want my vision to be clear. Somebody actually had a series of talks, Clive Pick. We got to get that a digital version. Okay. We're going to try to get it on a digital format. But Clive Pick is one of the teachers on these principles. But I want to tell you something. You know what he says? He says even if you want to know more about where God has for you to go in life in terms of direction, in terms of vision, he believes that this principle is so important that it'll clear things up for you. I'm convinced that this passage is in this chapter and it talks about money and seeking first his kingdom because it does give perspective and a clear vision. So what happens when you start to give And listen, you ask God about what to give. I think there is a principle, and I really do believe tithing is a principle. Tithe really means 10%, so we just do it. There's many times in our lives we didn't even know where we were going to get 10%, but we just did it anyways. And like Marlene's story, you just know that. And God, hey, this is a faith thing. And it's a fun thing when you start walking in it, because you're not going to experience those blessings of supernatural provision unless you take the risk of stretching out. And don't think, oh, it's just an Old Testament principle, it's just under the law. It's all through the Bible. If you think that way, then you know what you've been told something that you're not, you gotta really research it out. Okay, my prayer at this closing time is this. God, give us vision to seek first eternity. To seek first your kingdom. So what we want to see is things that really matter. The things we invest our life in, the things we pour our things that we our priorities in our life. I pray right now, Father, for this year that we would see clearly that God really is in charge. That I give him the charge of every part of my life. Now that's talking my physical life, my school, academic life, my health, my family, my money, all the things that are temporary in this world, I give to you, God. I surrender them to you. And I seek first your kingdom. I seek to have my eyes single. And that's another place in that passage we didn't get to. I pray that anything that's causing my eyes to be divided, that you would bring correction. You know what they do when they do correction of the eyes? They're making it all work well, giving you clear vision. I pray for clear vision for you, for the glory of God, for the blessing of God, for you and for others around you. I thank you, God, there are those who have said yes to you. Hey, if you need the grace to do this, just say, God, I need your grace. I need your help. If you need to stretch in this, I know some people say, well, I want to stretch in trusting God for provision. Well, just take a risk and see what happens. Give God that give God the chance to prove himself. I'm talking every area of your life. Your health, you give it to God today. You give it to God. That's seeking first his kingdom. Does that mean you go to the doctor? Sure, you go to the doctor. Sure, you take care of the things that you need to take care of. I pray for the kingdom of God to be released over your life. The benefits of the kingdom of God are far beyond your imagination. Because guess what? If you can see it in the natural, then it's not the kingdom. Ooh. Did you hear what I said? It's got to be beyond the. I pray now that you will do it in faith. You see, when I sow into something, I don't see the supernatural part of it. I'm praying as you sow into something naturally, God will put a super on it. Amen. I'm talking about faith and believing for healing too. You put that into the hand of God, natural situation, God puts a super on it. Come on. That's what I'm asking for. We're releasing the supernatural of God. I'm releasing that aspect of heaven. How many want kingdom of heaven showing up? You know, Paul, I love this because it really isn't about money. It's about the supernatural. Paul comes to this man begging in the temple. Do you remember that? Not Paul, Peter. Peter and James. Peter and James, Acts chapter 3, this man is begging. Peter and John. Thank you. Thank you for correction. I'm good for correction. All right, so they come to this man, and Peter says, silver and gold I don't have. Hey, I don't have money. But what I have, I give to you. And they had the super. natural. Now, there comes a time when you go by finding a beggar and you may have the money. And then you take it out of your pocket. They didn't have it. They gave. I'm just saying is let's not just settle for the temporary. I don't want to just settle for temporary relief. Hey, does that mean we don't help with relief? No. So I pray for abundance for you and abundance through you. I pray that God will release his kingdom over you and kingdom upon you and kingdom through you. Amen. I pray that God would give you the eyes to see how you can give out the supernatural. Hey, Jesus lived in the kingdom. He manifested the kingdom. He was the kingdom. So I pray right now that when you come across situations, you will manifest the kingdom of God, that you will live the kingdom of God. And when you come across situations, the kingdom of God is present to manifest the goodness of God, manifest the miracles of God. I release that over each of us in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that where we go, there is the presence of God, the authority of God, and the power of God. I thank you, God, that our words are not just going to be words in the natural. They're going to be supernatural. The living word of God will go through our voice, through our mouths. Everything about you and everything about me that's sown in this life, I pray, will reap eternal benefits. Amen. I'm not talking money. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about anything you do, your life and my life, that comes across, intersects with people, will have supernatural attached to it. We're people of the kingdom of God. And we seek first his kingdom. And we walk in that sense. We carry the kingdom. We wear the kingdom. We manifest the kingdom. We live for the kingdom. And it will happen. And I pray that now what you sow in the natural will have supernatural benefits. Amen. Supernatural work of God happening and manifested through your life. God says, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for my sons and daughters to go get their glasses cleaned. Get some of that heavenly spray on them and wash it off. And get them up with kingdom perspective. How about we live in a new way this year? How about we live with the kingdom of God in mind? How about we see God's kingdom manifested on our streets, in our town, in our communities? How about we see many sons and daughters come into the kingdom? Come on, how about we see the kingdom of God manifest? You know what? I really believe that some of you are here. Now, you're going to say, no, you're being judgmental. No, I'm not being judgmental. I just believe that some of you here are saying yes to the message. And some of you are just, okay, let me think about it. And God's okay with any of those situations. But I'm saying is, let the word of God, my prayer, God, is your word will go into good ground. I know there's always a chance when the word of God gets spoken that some goes into good ground and some doesn't. But I'm going to have faith to believe it's gone into good ground here. That it's going to reap, because when it goes into good ground, it produces fruit. It's multiplication benefits. So as it goes into good ground, you receive that seed and you say yes to God. The manifestation of the kingdom of God is going to come forth in your life.